Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you to come out this Wednesday night. We thank and praise God if we were able to light the candle with the rabbi for Hanukkah. So we wish them the very best. Amen. But I'm excited about tonight's message, so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome goodness and grace and mercy. We thank you for this time of worship. But Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Lord, Help Me to Be Blameless Before You. This is a key question that I impose on all of us here tonight. Lord, help me to be blameless before you. Now, we all know that every day we wake up, we struggle with the sin nature. Can I get an amen? That hasn't been eradicated. That hasn't been taken away. We still live in a body of flesh. But we're going to look through Scripture on how one is blameless before God. Come on. Man, and when we understand God's word and his grace, we can walk with confidence and don't have to worry about the enemy trying to dupe us, trying to connive us, trying to stumble us. Why? Because we got God's favor. How many of you believe we have God's favor? Come on. And this Sunday, pray, God's putting a message together this Sunday morning regarding election and being chosen by him. Because remember, we're in the advent of this season. What is the first advent of the coming of Christ? And so in the Christmas story, we read where the angel came to Joseph and said, you will call this child Jesus, for he will save his people. Did you catch that? His people. And so there are those, I really believe that the call goes out. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And aren't you so blessed that God has chosen you? Come on, we've been chosen by God. And he's the enabler. He enables us to come to him. Prior to us coming into that saving knowledge, we were rebels without a cause. Come on, we were knuckleheads. So let's look at verses 1 through 7, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to take us. So let's look at this. Verse 1 in chapter 3, 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless. Oh, there's that word, blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Wow, these are characters of the works of the flesh, huh? And this is what God is saying to those who want to take a position in leadership as a pastor, as a bishop, as an elder, as a deacon. I like to say, man, there's double accountability behind the pulpit. Look at verse 4. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Verse 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? This is what you always hear me saying, is have your house in order. Because if your house is out of order, the church will be out of order. So when the house is in order, you can come and worship the king. And there's nothing like, you know that old saying, there's a monkey on my back. Well, when we come to worship and study about God and be in the presence and be amongst the saints,
We should come with confidence knowing, you know what? I don't have nothing on my back no more. God took care of that at the cross. Will we struggle with issues? Yeah, we will. But here's the thing. We don't have to wallow in it no more. Can I get an amen? Because God does a good work. He's done a great work in you. He's done a great work in me. And there's nothing we can boast about. Nothing. It's all God. Look at this. Verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation. Man, as the devil. There's people with pride. Do you know there's people walking around with pride? And the pride takes place, especially when someone gets offended. You know, what you talking about, Willis? Remember that? Oh, yeah. You say something maybe in a harsh way or maybe in an uncontentious way, whatever how they receive it. But, man, if pride sets in, it's like a fireball you cannot contain. And you fall in the condemnation of the devil. That's what the word says here. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are what? Outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Man, that, the devil's talked about these last two verses of scripture. Why does it is it brought up? Because it was like very fierce, a spirit of rebellion in this time. This is why Paul had to write this letter to this young man, Timothy. And it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. So let's look at verse 1 again. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Saints, the word elder referred to a pastor or a deacon or a bishop or anyone who exercised an overseeing position. The New Testament uses several words for church leaders. The most common are apostle, overseer, bishop, elder, deacon. I know there's some churches, they won't. The pastor, you don't call him pastor, he's an elder. I get that. That's their credence. Every church has their own credence. But the liturgy should be the same. Jesus Christ and him crucified and he rose again. Can I get an amen? If that's not being taught and preached, steer far from it. Because Jesus is coming again. Oh, yes, he is. And so at the first of the office of the apostle referred only to the 12 and a select few like Paul, but it came to be used in a less technical sense. Why? For church representatives to see. And so, yes, there were the original 12, but there's an office now of an apostle. I know, you know who was, to me, he was our modern day apostle, was Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel. Come on. How many churches sprung up out of his ministry? Thousands. They're around the world. And there's other prominent, great men of God who were sent out and established many wonderful churches, many beautiful churches. But something's changed over the last, 10 years. And I truly believe, I think the culprit is the love of money. It's the love of money. That could get to someone and see past anything else other than becoming covetous. And we're going to talk about that. Look how Philippians addresses those overseers, those who are sent. Philippians 1 and 1. Look at this. Paul, Timothy, servants of Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. By the grace of God, we've been to Philippi. We've seen it. We've seen it with our own eyes. Together with an overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a bishop is a servant. A pastor is a servant. Don't make anything bigger than what it is, because that's all we are. We're just servants. There's many churches, man, they'll elevate the man behind the pulpit. I don't want that happening here. Can I get an amen? You won't see that here. You won't see Pastor's Appreciation Day. I've been to a church like that for many years, man, and once a year, man, presents, and I thought it was Christmas time. Uh-uh. I want my rewards to be in heaven. I don't want no one to take my rewards. My rewards in heaven, stored away. That's where I'd rather have God store them up than man down here. Can I get amen? These things are going, they're passing by every day. I mean, it comes and goes. It's not about material. Everything should be focused on the spiritual, on the eternal. Can I get amen? Look how Paul addressed the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8. It says, in addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. Man, they were always sending people out. Why? To bring the good news. It's mentioned here. And as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. This is what we should represent, ambassadors of Christ. Can I get amen? We should honor the Lord wherever you go, on your job, at home, in school, wherever God sends you. Be a representative. Be an ambassador. And be ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. Somebody is checking you out, and I'm not saying it in a wrong way. I'm talking on the job, maybe friends and family. And when I say checking you out, they're observing that there's something different about you. And that should be, I like to use the word in a good sense, contagious. Somebody says, man, I've seen you go through all kinds of trials in your life, and yet you don't murmur and complain. And you're always praising God. This is what the world needs to see. They need to see us. When we're in what's called pickles of life, man, that person's going through. And yet, they're still giving God glory and honor. You know what? I'll tell you what. If there's anything that blesses my heart on Sunday mornings, is having Sister Josie's parents right here in the morning. They're going through. She's going through. Yet she's here praising God. Can I get an amen? Come on, man. To me, that's worth it all. That's worth it all. It's to watch them come and praise God and press through. And says, I don't care the condition I'm in because I know where eternity lies. I know my Redeemer liveth. You got to know who that your Redeemer lives. So look at this. These people were sent out. Verse 24, therefore show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. This is what the world needs to see. They need to see the true love in us. Can I get an amen? Listen, one of the hardest things for a pastor is to send a rebuke. And you hope that, okay, can we still mend things up? Can you still receive the instruction? But some people, they'll slam the door and they'll be gone. I've seen it. I've seen this happen at least 10 times when I was at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, because it was a huge church. I've seen in meetings where our pastor had to give a rebuke to someone that was out of order. And then they just cut and dried. They're gone. They couldn't say, oh, forgive me. Yes, I'm sorry. I should not, you know. And just learn to obey. We can't be like the world that, you know, in the world, someone barely cuts you off and they're doing this to you. It's like, wait a minute, I'm sorry. My intention wasn't to smack you with my car. But it's important that we are a light before this dying world. Can I get an amen? Look how Philippians brings this out. Philippians 2. But I think it necessary to send back to you what? Epaphroditus. Sent to you. Why? My brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Look, we're going to go through sicknesses. Nobody's immune. Nobody's immune to getting sick, to having a virus, to having operations. This flesh, if you think this flesh is built to live forever, think again. This flesh is temporary. And I like to say it like this. As you get older in life and you're starting to feel the aches and the pains, and man, I can't move as fast as I used to. I can't throw the ball no more. I roll out of bed. I don't spring out of bed. Okay, when we start going through that, That's a good sign. You know why? Because the Bible says that your bodies are moaning and groaning for the change. Because the body knows, it's almost like the DNA in itself knows that it's not living here forever. And it's groaning for the change. Aren't you so blessed to know that when Jesus comes, he'll come with the new body? Thank you, God. So there are things to comfort us as we go through. Number one, God should be your ultimate comforter. Can I get an amen? God should be your ultimate comforter. And then your doctors who God put, did you know God put doctors there for you? Yes, he did. And where did the wisdom and knowledge come from? From above. But I like to run to him first. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 27. Indeed, he was ill. He almost died. This guy almost died. But God had mercy on him. Listen, a lot of us almost died in our sin, and God had mercy on us. Could I get an amen? Look at this. And not only him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Man, this was somebody that Paul really needed. And it would have brought him great discomfort and great sorrow if he were to die. But he cried out to God. Saints, this is why we need to cry out for one another. Can I get an amen? Because the devil wants to take us out. This person right here was almost taken out. But God had mercy. You know, very little do you ever come across these scriptures that identify someone going through. We think that Jesus is the only one who died on the cross a horrible death, and we know that. But these are folks, real folks, that are going through no differently than how we go through. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Listen, when people are serving Christ and are just giving of themselves, you know, we don't honor them with gifts or anything. You know how I honor a person? I praise God for you. I thank God what he's doing in your life. Because, we can give things and do things. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'd rather it come from my heart, knowing what God is doing in someone. That should bring great joy. What God is doing in your life. And others will see it. So welcome with great joy and honor like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you cannot give me. Man, this is Paul sharing his heart. Sometimes we have to share our heart. Amen? Share our heart with one another. Oh, God. Saints, elders were leaders in specific congregations, and the words were used interchangeably in Paul's letters. They were the teachers, the deacons, they were the administrators, and these were the early churches handling people, administration, finances, etc., everything. These guys had to do it all. There apparently was a saying regarding church leadership, and Paul cited it as true. It is good. It's a great desire to be a spiritual leader. Desire means set one's heart on something. Leadership is an honorable responsibility, and Paul stressed its importance to it. However, as Paul would point out, the standards are high. For those behind a pulpit, man, I'm telling you, the standards are high. It really is, because we have so much accountability behind this pulpit. Why? It's because God, when God calls, he's the one that needs to equip. And guess what? He will equip the call. If you've been called, he'll equip you. That's right. He don't leave you on an island by yourself. He's there with you. So let's look at verse 2 in 1 Timothy, back to verse chapter 3. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Wow. Saints, Paul, he enumerated several qualifications for an elder. He must live a life that cannot be spoken against, meaning he must have no flaw in his conduct that would be grounds for any kind of accusation. I'm telling you. Yolanda and I, we've discussed many things in 7 years of ministry. Number one, when we minister to anyone in the congregation, her and I are present. You can't have no room. Look what's going on in the world. Oh, that person just groped me. It's everywhere right now, isn't it? It's in the news. It's everywhere, man. It's like there's a spirit right now that's so ungodly in this world. And guess what? You can't have no room to let it creep into the church. Can I get an amen? And so a bishop, a pastor, an elder, a deacon must be blameless. The term serves as a general opening summary of character, saints. A leader within the church should have a good reputation amongst believers. Leadership sets the tone. What follows are the building blocks of that reputation. The qualification, he must be faithful to his wife. Can I get an amen? Has lent himself to different interpretations. Some say this shows that he should be married. Now, Paul wasn't married. He's not knocking singlehood. Not at all. But someone in great leadership, especially a man behind the pulpit, he needs that help, mate. I still haven't visited a church where the pastor is not married. Usually he has his helpmate there. He needs, every pastor needs that woman of God next to him. Can I get an amen? And the two needs to be on one accord. Man, if it's like this, people will see it. Listen, man, why is that pastor, man, in contention with his wife? That should never be. And if that's the relationship, that man has no business behind a pulpit. Can I get an amen? I'm speaking to me tonight, saints. I hope you know that. This is about me. This is what these scriptures tonight entail. Someone behind leading a church. Man, I'm telling you, it's so double accountability. It's no joke. I take this behind here serious. You have to. If your heart's not in it all the way, why even be there? Let someone else who God is raising up teach and preach. The bishop, the elder, must exhibit self-control. It is another way of saying a leader ought to possess sound and balanced judgment or even common sense. Each of these qualities, saints, may be required for leaders, but they ought to be the goal of all believers. Can I get amen? All of us need to have qualities in our life where people can say, man, you know what? I praise God for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Why? Because they're transparent in their life, and they know that Jesus is the center of their heart, of their life, of their whole entire being. Jesus is the center. And when he's in the center of your will, you know, I think Carrie Underwood came out with the song, Jesus at the Center of Your Will. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like it. I love my wife with all my heart. But Jesus has to be first. You can love your spouse and you can love them, truly love them, but Jesus needs to be first. Because you know what? He won't share his glory with nobody. He won't. A church leader must live wisely, meaning that his life should be marked by moderation, limits, not extreme or excessive, with absence of extravagance. I've seen that before. Keeping up with the Joneses, man. Man, look at this brand new ride. I love new cars too. But God said, I'm not giving you one right now. You run that 2004 Toyota Prius until the hubcaps fall off. I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I love that little car. I'm not getting rid of it. The hubcaps have to fall off before I get another car. It already has over 230,000 miles on it. Still going. It's like the Energizing Bunny. And I'm so glad to have it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Now, we may use the term balance to indicate that this letter possesses the appropriate emphasis on each of the priorities in life. A good reputation, saints, refers to basic social graces, ordinary, dignified behavior. We leaders, we have to show dignity. Can I get an amen? And people need to glean off it and say, you know what, hey, if they can live like that, so can I. And it's not that we want to live above anyone, no. Matter of fact, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Greek word is derived from cosmos, the world or the universe. And pictures a person who lives in harmony with God and his creation. That's our goal, is to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And love ourselves as our neighbor. Believers are commanded to be hospitable, so leaders should also enjoy having guests in his home. You ever had people come and it's a joy if they come? I mean, you know what blessed my heart was Monday night. I was so blessed to take a photo of these sisters that got gathered together. Why? Because they love the Lord. They were there to worship God, and they shared, and some were there for the first time and said, wow, this was a good Bible study. And so, praise God. Look at 1 Peter 4, 9. Offer hospitality to one another without any grumbling. Man, if it's a burden, man, just close the blinds and muzzle the dog. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. And this is what I love about the saints here. I know we're small, but you know what? I'm trying to lead that we should love others like Christ loves the church. Can I get an amen? Instead of being in someone's face. What? No, there are times where you have to set someone aside. Praise the Lord. But God has been good to us here, and we're thankful. Look at this in 3 John 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. There was this one particular, I'm not going to say her name, who is a relative of Sister Yolanda, who was there for the first time that night, Monday night. And she goes, I can't wait till you guys start up again. I want to come back. Why? Because she saw the love. She saw the kindred spirit, the koinonia spirit. And that's what you need to have. But here's where it gets really tough, especially for a leader like me or a pastor. Let's look at verse 3 right here in 1 Timothy. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. If you take every one of those phrases there, there's a scripture for that. An elder must not be a heavy drinker. We don't drink. Praise God. I'm glad God delivered me from all kinds of vices when I was 30. And for 29 years, he has kept me on the narrow. And that's God's grace. And here's the thing. If you want to be kept by God, he will keep you. But you got to desire that too. But look at Proverbs 21. I'm going to go through these scriptures quickly. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Man, there's some folks, man, they have too many. What up? All of a sudden, you know why they call it spirits in Europe? You go to a pub or a bar, and it says spirits all over the place. Why? Because after a few, a whole different spirit takes over. And you're not yourself no more. Look at Proverbs 3:31. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. There's people, man, as soon as you give them a dirty look, man, they want to knock you out. Stay away from violent people. Can I get an amen? If someone wants to be violent, I don't want to be their friend. I'm sorry. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:10. I'm going through these categories in this one verse of scripture in 1 Timothy. And it speaks volumes to me that I have a huge responsibility behind this pulpit. Can I get an amen? Look at this in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money shall never have enough. And they're chasing that next dollar. We were talking about it a little earlier. Walking into, my brother invited us to this boxing thing with the police. And we had to go through Baronas. We had to go, and man, there was row after row of unarmed bandits. And people were just pulling that. But what really got me was on top of their slot machines were little Virgin Marys and little Jesuses that they thought who Jesus was, and little crosses, and they would tap it and then pull it. I said, well, what is that? Jesus, help us. We got to be in end times. Look at this. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness. This is in Ecclesiastes. And I'm reading this one out of the New Living Translation. The more you have, the more you spend, right up to the times of your income, so that it is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch it as it runs through your fingers. It's like picking up sand. You ever picked up sand and it just goes right through? Look at verse 12. The man who works hard sleeps well, whether he eats little or much, but the rich man must worry and suffer insomnia. How am I going to keep all this? How can I make more? Look at Philippians 4 or 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. That's why if I run into you in a store, if I see you in the park, if wherever I see you, man, I want to have a smile on my face and say, praise the Lord. I want the Spirit of God to truly be in me and not to be a facade. But you really mean, praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you. Look at Titus 3 and 9. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, and dissensions, and quarrels over the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. As for a man who is divisive, this is someone that, man, you ever been around people? They just want to argue. They just want to argue. Or they want to make their point right and yours wrong. Very divisive. Look at this. After admonishing him once or twice, have nothing more to do with him. That's God's word. Knowing that such a person is perverted and sinful and he is self-condemned. Man, you know, putting this study together, I was saying, God help me. Because God was speaking to me. And he's speaking to us tonight, isn't he? His word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to go into the bone and marrow. Look at Ephesians 5:5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, this is covetous now, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Wow. Man, these scriptures, all the New Testaments, I'm telling you, God speaks through his word. And there's people that operate like this. And the Bible's clear. Clear. It says, they will have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What? What? Yep. You know why? Because what's basically lifted up within them is pride. Pride is the one that will destroy a man or a woman. Pride, pride, pride. A Christian leader must not be the one who loves money. Leaders must have a proper attitude for handling finances in the church. The effects, the ethical use of church funds and the administration of proper programs for raising money, it also implies that making money should not be a prime motive for a candidate seeking a church leadership position. If that's what it's all about, man, you're in the wrong business. Yet, I've seen it. Listen, there's a church, I'm not going to, because some of you know this church, and I'm not going to, but we got invited one. This is years ago. And we walked into the foyer, and there was a huge, giant billboard. And it had all bunch of names going down, and then their name across, and it showed the top givers on the top. Just imagine the one that was down here that can't give that much. What's that doing to their heart? Making a mockery when it should be a place of worship. Giving is worship. Who cares if you drop a nickel in? That was worship unto God. There's some that will write a check for thousands. You know what? But we don't bring them over here, man. You know what? Wow. Then you're in it for the wrong reason. You're not in it for the Lord. It's not worship to you. But I've seen God raise up leaders like that, and then they see all this green coming in, and it turns the heart, and they become a different minister. Pray. If you know people like, just pray for them. You don't have to condemn them. You don't have to talk bad or ill. Just pray, Lord, we pray your will be done. Can I get amen? Let's go back to verse 4 in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church? Saints, the qualification for both elders and deacons hinge on man's ability to manage his own household. It is not absolutely required that an elder be married or have children. It doesn't. The church that my daughter attends, there's some wonderful elders there. They're not married. But in their church affiliation and in the credence that they adhere to, in the liturgy that they teach, they really believe that the pastor should have a wife behind the pulpit. Because there's great challenges. And being a single one who has a leadership role is a whole lot of temptation. Can I get an amen? We know what road that is. If he does, however, he must manage his own family well. Can I get an amen? The word manage means compassionate, governing, leading, and directing. That's what we are called to do. And not be stern and cruel and tyrannical and have an authoritary dominance. My way or the highway. Look how the Word of God brings this out in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to be, and esteem them very highly in love. This is what all I want from you. I don't want your gifts and your... Just love God for calling someone like me to teach the word. That's all I want, is that you would love God for that. Because there's nothing to esteem other than, praise God, you raised up someone for such a time as this. Be at peace among yourselves. Look at 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So all I want is continue to pray for me, that God will keep my body healthy to keep going. That's just pray. Say, Lord, he labors, so I'm praying for his health. I'm praying for his marriage. I'm praying for finances to continue to come in his own household. Now, I'm not talking about the church, but our own home, because I live in an occupation where you walk by faith and not by sight. I don't punch in the clock. I do my best to help and serve the community and helping them buy or sell their homes. And there are months where months will go by and no calls or nothing. And so we walk in faith, trusting and believing God. And has he ever failed us? She's the calm one. Trust God. Trust God. Has he failed us yet? No. But I need to be reminded. I do. There's times I need to be reminded, and she reminds me. I praise God for it. Saints, it makes sense that Paul would use this requirement for no one can run a household effectively without love and firmness, mercy, and what guidelines? Your home has to have guidelines. It has to have structure. It's the husband, for those of you that are married, then the wife, then the children, but God first. Can I get an amen? And for the singles, Jesus should be your lover. Can I get an amen? He should be your husband. He should be your father. He should be your brother. He should be your all in all. This is why, man, I tell you, don't for singles, don't go, well, I know you have someone for me. You know what? He does. It's him. Right now, it's him. 10 years. I waited 10 years. I didn't date. When in my BC years, I corrupted the whole marriage. So she had every right to walk out. And for 10 years, and what God had to do with me, he had to teach me how to love him first before he can pluck someone out of his garden and then present it to me. There were some things he had to get out of me. There was some junk in me. I had to be stripped. Because, you know, in the day we live in, we can just keep coming in and out of relationships. And the junk that's in the trunk never got out of the trunk. So you're bringing it into a new one. Things weren't dealt with back then. And then you keep falling in the same trap. That's why I'm saying, man, there was a wonderful, I'm not going to mention his name, someone that attended us 7 years ago. And as soon as the divorce, crying out, oh, God, save my marriage. Oh, God, save my marriage. Oh, God, save my marriage. And man, we counseled the brother for 3 months. One-on-one counseling, Yolanda and I counseling. And when the divorce was final, the following week, didn't even take a week, he walks in with a new sister. I say no more. And it becomes a merry-go-round in that person's life. It just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. And so in verse 6, in chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. Saints, new believers should become secure and strong in the faith before taking leadership roles in the church. Can I get amen? Too often when desperate for workers, the church places a new Christian in a position of leadership prematurely. Man, God taught me some valuable lessons. Man, just don't lay hands on someone suddenly. New believers should have a part in God's service, but they should not be put into leadership positions until they are firmly grounded in their faith with a solid Christian lifestyle and a knowledge of the Word of God. Can I get an amen tonight? Otherwise, a new believer might be proud of being chosen so soon, and the devil will use that pride to make him or her fall. The reference to the devil teaches that in the same way, Satan fell because of what? Pride. There waits the danger of pride to new believers who are given responsibility before they are ready. And so God, through the teaching of the word, through time, then he raises them up. And then you know that God has raised them up. You know why? Because you'll see that it is a joy for them to serve. And you want them to grow and take off. But we've seen this so, I don't know how many times. Someone new will come, and then they want to do everything all of a sudden. And then you have to slow your roll. And then they bounce. You don't see them again. So there's a maturing time that God does. And only God and that person knows. And guess what? The leaders will see it. And they'll say, man, look at God's hand on you. And that's when us leaders, then we have to get out of the way and allow God to use that person. Can I get amen? There's so many churches that I've seen. You've heard my testimony. Horizon Christian Fellowship has been there for 35 years. And when Pastor Mike McIntosh felt like he was retiring from the ministry, he gave it to his son. He wasn't the anointed one. There were probably many pastors being raised up, and they were passed over, and it was given to a relative. And for the first time, they're closing their doors. Yeah, that whole, it's a junior high school. It used to be Taft Junior High on the corner of Mount Alifan and Genesee. They're closing they had to move the football team that Horizon had, the basketball, all the sports had to be spread out to other churches of the faith. Teachers had to be placed in other venues. It's like that's a sad day. Custodian led me to the Lord there 29 years ago and right in front of that church. Look at 1 Timothy 5:21. This is later on. We'll get to this, but I needed to bring this. Never be in a hurry about choosing a pastor or an elder or a bishop or a deacon. You may overlook his or her sins, and it will look as if you approved of them. Be sure that you yourself stay away from all sin. Can I get an amen? That's why I said, my wife prays for me every day. Honey, I'm praying for you. God will keep you. She prays for me. We pray for each other, but she prays for me. Because she knows. She's been with me for 20 years, and she knows. She knows my blind sides. You guys don't know my blind sides. She does. And she comes to me in love. And she says things to me sometimes that, oh, yes, I didn't see it. But she saw it. And us husbands, we need to learn to receive it. Can I get amen? We can't go, what you talking about, Willis? And we're out of line. We're going to look at our last scripture here, and then we close. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Moreover, he must be a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Wow. Saints, requiring the leaders to have a good reputation with people outside the church, that is non-believers in our community, gave the church at large a good reputation in the community. We have to. Especially someone behind the pulpit, you can't live a life of reproach. Because you know what God will do? He will pull your covers. Bam, for all to see. Church leaders, being the most visible people in the church to the secular world, would do well to maintain the highest of standards and the best reputation. Seeing several church leaders make headlines in the recent years for tax evasion, wrongful use of solicited funds, sexual escapades, certainly damages the credibility of the church. You've heard this before. I'm not going to that church. Well, the people didn't do you wrong. It was someone that demonstrated that's not how to operate. This is what I tell. Get this tonight, saints. Don't focus on man. If you focus on man, eventually you'll be disappointed. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know why? Because he needs to cover us. He needs to cleanse us. He's the one that needs to correct us. He's the one that has to send a rebuke when we get out of line. He's the one that will come and save your bacon. He's the one that will come and heal you when it's time to heal you. Did you know he's sovereign? He's not the genie in the bottle. Oh, Jesus, I need you right now. He's sovereign. You know what that means? He doesn't need to come to us. He doesn't have to do anything else for us until he comes back again. But he chooses to. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. That's his nature. And yet, we don't deserve his benefits. We don't deserve anything good. And yet, he chose to bless us. This is why I can't wait for this Sunday's message about being chosen, being elected by him. Because the world can't say that yet, or those outside of the church. Well, you know, there's so many people that has heard the word, but yet he hasn't quickened them yet. Aren't you so blessed he quickened you? Man, I can't say enough words. My mind is incapable. So incapable of giving him the ultimate praise for saving me. Other than, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I don't deserve none of this. But you saved me. You saved us. Church leaders who follow Paul's advice keep their church from facing unnecessary abuse. Otherwise, the result is to fall into the devil's trap and be disgraced with both believers and non-believers. That's the last thing. Non-believers that are looking at your life, see, I told you they're hypocrites. That's why I'm not in church. We have to live above reproach. Can I get an amen? We got to learn how to die to self. We got to learn how to keep going on when the road gets tough. Did you know that, you know what it appears to me? Now, this is just me. This is my insight. But as Jesus is coming soon, it seems like our walk becomes a little bit more narrow. I know my walk is becoming more narrow. The Bible says, wide is the road for destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and very few find it. So this trap that Paul's talking about may either be the moral failure and resultant judgment that a man or a woman has chosen as a leader to fall into, or it could mean the trap of temptation leading to pride, as mentioned in verse 6. When Christian leaders have a bad reputation, it keeps non-believers from coming to Christ. So tonight, let's just thank God that he's doing a mighty work in your life and my life. And I'm praying that whoever's listening to this message, maybe someone that has fallen away, somehow, some way, they got a hold of this message, and now God is speaking to you. And so if God is speaking to you, allow us to pray with you right now. And we're going to believe God, that God's going to draw you into that place with him right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, I want to just thank God for the church here at Amazing Grace. I see your mighty hand upon us. Through all our faults and failures, you haven't given up on us. We keep pressing. Why? Because you enable us to press toward you. And we thank you for that. Lord, I'm praying, God, for someone that may be listening to this message and maybe they've strayed far from you, or maybe they heard something they never heard before, and that was that God loves them. He's not mad at you. People have a misconception of you, Jesus. They think you're up there in heaven with a big bat waiting to beat them on the head. Yet we know that you came to the cross to die for us. And you shed your precious blood that we would come to you by faith, and that you would show yourself mighty in our life. So if that's you tonight, If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity. We want to pray with you that by faith you too can receive eternal life like he has given us. He has given us his promise in his word, and he has given us his spirit as a guarantee. And that's for you too. And if you're listening to this message, pray this simple prayer and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.